So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get started. Father, we just, we love you so much. That's why we're here. We're here because we want to honor you. We want to glorify your name. Father, I thank you so much for the word that you've given me tonight. Holy Spirit, we've already talked, and I've asked you to just be all of you and none of me. So I'm trusting that my prayer has gone forth and that you will speak, and you know what everybody needs to hear. I'm not going to go along word for word or line by line. I'm opening my heart to hear from you, and that you'll direct everything that you want done and everything you want said, and that every heart will be open to receive. It may not even be something I hear, but you'll put it in their heart, and they'll take it back with them. And I thank you so much for the opportunity to be here and the privilege to speak today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So I had about 15 messages, so I finally narrowed it down. And I'm not really sure where we're going tonight, and I hope y'all have a few hours, but I did have a lot of different things, but he narrowed it down. I feel like I've got it where we're going to go with this tonight. So we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5, and if you want to just look, I know it'll be up behind me, but if you want to pull that up in your Bibles, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. And I know this will shock everyone. We're going to talk about the word tonight. But he gave me such a specific message and such a specific way to bring this to you. So I'm really excited. And he taught me, when you're a teacher of the word, you learn more than anyone. Because you spend so much time getting it in you. So, all right, 2 Corinthians 10, 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. Okay, so we're going to go back to verse 4. It says here, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are divinely powerful for the destruction of strongholds. I'm going back to the King James, fortresses. So the first thing it says is the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. So that lets us know immediately, right off the bat, this is not something that we have here. We don't need to go get a 20-gauge. Is there a 20-gauge shotgun? Is there such a thing? Do y'all know? I know nothing about guns. 12-gauge shotgun. We don't need to go find a sword. We don't need to find anything in our flesh. He says right here that the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. So right now we know it's not something in the flesh, which means where are we going to go? Spiritual. It's got to be something spiritual. So we have a weapon. It's not of the flesh. And now we need to figure out where is the weapon? What is the weapon? How do we use it? We know. Then the next thing it says is, but it's divinely powerful. Divinely powerful, that's God powerful, divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. So he's telling us that there's a weapon, and we've got a fortress in our life, whether it's sickness, whether it's lack, whether it's strife, whether it's, how many, we can go on and on and on. But whatever that fortress is, he's got a weapon that's going to destroy it out of our life. Okay, so we know that it's not of the flesh, so we got a spiritual weapon. We know that it's divinely powerful, and we know that it destroys the strongholds or the fortresses in our lives. So now we got to figure out, what is it? We need it, we want it, what is it? Now we get to go to Ephesians 6, 13 through 17. Y'all, this is so exciting. This is so exciting, because if we get this, and y'all, so everyone here, y'all are mighty warriors already. So many, no babies, but we have so much that we all learn all the time. So Ephesians 6:13, therefore take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having your loins girded with truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench or extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So we've got this armor. He has given us five defensive weapons, five defensive things that we use. Those are all mentioned before, but I'm going to go to the last one. We have one offensive weapon. one here that's listed. And it says at the end in 17, it is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So we've got a weapon. We now know exactly what it is. He's made this very clear. It's a sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's our only offensive weapon. So if we go back to 2 Corinthians 10:4, this is the weapon. It says that we have a weapon of our warfare. It's not flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of strongholds. That is the word of God. So that's our weapon. It's clear in the scripture. Write that down. Take it home. If you're not sure, mull over it. So it's our offensive weapon. So how do we yield it or wield it? How do we use that weapon? Okay, let's go to Proverbs 18:21. Because the only way that we're going to use the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, is for it to come out of our mouths. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So there we are. Now you've got a choice. He's given us the choice. He always gives us the choice of what we're going to do. So we've got death and we've got life. And you have a choice of which one your mouth is going to speak. All right, then let's go to Matthew 12:37. Matthew 12:37 says, by our words we shall be justified, and by our words we shall be condemned. All right, so I looked those up, the word justified. By our words we'll be justified. That means to defend a cause, to plead a case, or to acquit. So he's saying you can use your words. By your words, then you make the decision whether you want to defend your cause, stand up, what the word says, or you'll be condemned, pass judgment against. So that means when your words are death, you're condemning yourself. You're condemning your situation. You're speaking death over your situation. So we don't want to do that. Of course, we want to speak life, and we want to use the sword of the Spirit as our weapon to speak life, the word of God. So number one, just everybody got it, our weapon is the word of God, and how we use it is to speak it out of our mouth. So we got that. Number two, we are going to look back at 2 Corinthians 10:5. You're so quick. So it says, we are. Who is? We. This is not God doing this. This is us doing this. We have got to do this. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And y'all, this is a huge one. This is a huge one, because we can know all day long, well, the Word of God says that, the Word of God says that. But we've got to take this, we've got to destroy these speculations. A speculation, when I looked it up in the Hebrew, that word, it's hupsoma. I'm glad Donna's not here to correct me, but that's what I think it says, hupsoma. And it means an elevated place or thing, height, barrier, something you put above. So what it's saying here is that we've got to destroy anything that's higher than the Word of God in our life. Okay? That's what it's saying. It's so powerful. What are we elevating above the Word of God? That's what it's saying. So what are you putting higher than the Word of God? Okay, so for instance, let me give some examples. My foot is broken. The doctor says I'm not going to walk normal again. I've got this cast on. I'm never going to be able to run again with the grandkids or the kids or whatever. That's what man has said. That's what the flesh has said. But the word of God has said, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. He blesses my bread and my water and takes sickness away from my midst. He is the God who heals me. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our iniquity and heals all our diseases. So I've got a choice. Am I going to elevate what the doctor said? Am I going to elevate what's going on in my foot right now? Or am I going to elevate the word of God? And that's our choice. This is what it's talking about. We have to destroy those speculations, those things that are raised up against the knowledge or the word of God. Anything that's telling you it's higher than the word of God, that's what we've got to cast down. We've got to take it captive, and we've got to say, no, no, we're not going to go there. I've got to go with what the word says. So let's give some examples, and Robert, if you would put on that slide, the song slide that I put up. So my question today is, where is your but? Where is your but? Of course, I'm talking about the conjunction but for those who are listening online, for anyone's listening online. B-U-T, but. Where is your but? And this is huge because I can have $5 here and Levi can come up to me and go, can I have $5? And I'll say, you know, Levi, I've got $5. I got $5 right there in my purse. $5 belongs to me, but the minute I said but, he can go, well, that's it. I ain't getting no $5. The $5 is over. That but is huge. So we can say, I know that God says, by his stripes I'm healed, but my foot's broken, the pain is really bad. You know, he says I'm never going to walk again. I know that God says he'll supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, but I have all these bills that aren't paid. I don't know how in the world that I'm going to pay these two over here. It looks like I'm never going to get a job. I don't know what's going to happen. The word says, great is the peace of my children, for they're taught of the Lord. But they're being so disrespectful, and they won't listen. I don't know how I'm ever going to get them to hear. They're going off with the wrong crowd. The word of God says we're to pray for kings and all those in authority over us, that we'll have peace in the land. But they're impeaching or trying to impeach the president. And all of the everything is just going berserk. The government is going down the tube. So where's my butt? You know, I've got the word of God, but I'm raising something up higher. And it really depends on what am I going to put my attention on, what am I going to stay on and refuse to get off of. You know, Gloria Copeland has said before, all of our pastors have said, persistence is the key, and I believe it. Because you have got to decide which way you're going to go. Are you going to go with the thing that's risen up lofty and high above the Word of God, or are you going to go with what the Word of God says and stay there and refuse to move no matter what happens, no matter what it looks like, no matter what the bank says, no matter what the doctor says, no matter what anybody says? You've got to make the decision. You are going to stand and lift that up higher than anything else. In any situation that we have, anything that's going on, we have got to make the decision to put the Word of God first. So I'm going to give y'all several, I have so many, we'd be here 3 hours, that I went through, situations in the Bible where the but made the difference, good or bad, on what the decision was. So we're going to go to Matthew 19, 16 through 22. And I'm going to start Matthew 19, 16. Now behold, someone came to him, that's Jesus, and said, teacher, what good thing shall I do to obtain eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that's God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? And Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So Jesus just told him what to do, what he needed to do to be in God's kingdom, to follow God. And we all know Jesus was not trying to make him poor. He would have been wealthier than he'd ever been. So here's what the word of God said to him. But he had great possessions, and he just couldn't imagine letting go of all those things. So he chose to go with the flesh, with all of the, and we know we never heard. And I think if he had done it, he'd be in here. He'd be an Acts. He'd be another Peter. There's no telling what we would have heard about this guy. All through the scriptures, he made this decision not to. And I mean, for each one of us, I know when God sends me money, seed to sow, or I have to decide if it's seed to sow or bread to eat. You know, when he brings us money, bread to eat is what we need to take care of all of our needs. And Pastor's been so good, Pastor Trey, in talking to me about that, because people would give me money just as a gift, which was a huge blessing, and I would be so quick to give it because I know the power of the giving. But he'd say, make sure it's his bread or if it's seed. And that's so important. So when anything comes into me, when someone gives me a gift, a financial gift, I stop immediately. I go, Lord, is this bread? Is this to take care of my needs and my bills? Or is this seed that I'm supposed to give? Because let me tell you, every time he's told me, and sometimes it's a little of both, keep this much, give all of this much. But whenever he tells me to give that seed, I cannot tell you. Abundance comes. three times over, four times over what I have given. Sometimes immediately, sometimes within 2 days, it may be a few months. It may be that all of a sudden bills come in that are so much lower. I mean, there's all different ways that God can do it. But let me tell you, you can't outgive him. And his word says, give and it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It said that he would give to you so that you'll have your needs met and more than enough. 2 Corinthians 9. So we have so much. I mean, the blessings that he has for us are unbelievable. So just like this young man, we have a choice. You know, we all have bills. We all have things that have to be met, needs that have to be met. But when that comes in, then you go to the word of God and you decide. And of course, we temper it always with the Holy Spirit. You don't just jump and make any decision. You take that word and then you go to the Holy Spirit. The word is true. It's never wrong. But you always want to make sure how you're going to do it or how it's to be done. It has to be tempered with the Holy Spirit directing your steps. So let's go to Mark 7, 24 through 30. I love this story. I love all these stories. Mark 7, 24 through 30. This is the story of the Syrophoenician woman. And from thence he arose, Jesus, and went away into the borders of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered into a house and would have no man know it, and he could not be hid. But straightway a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit, having heard of him, came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by race, and she besought him that he would cast forth the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, let the children first be filled, for it is meet, not right, is what he's saying, to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. But she answered and said, yea, Lord, but even the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter. And she went away unto her house and found the child laid upon the bed and the demon gone out. Okay, but, okay, here's your daughter, demon possessed, who knows how long. There's no telling the horror of what's going on in that house that she's had to deal with. She's come a ways to find Jesus, and she found him, and then he just called her a dog. He just called her lower than the low. I don't know how it worked. I know Jesus is so full of love, but at the same time, he let her know, this isn't for you. This is only for the children of Israel. So she's got all this, and now she's looking at him, and he just said this. But she also knows what she's heard about him. She knows what the word of God, she knows what all the people have said. She's heard how he's healed other people that aren't Israel. She knows. She didn't come here with no knowledge. She's heard. So she's got all of that is looking her in the face, but she knows she's looking at the one person that can help her. There's only one person that can do this, to heal her daughter, that can deliver her. There's only one person. And she knows she's looking at him. And I'm telling you, I know as a mother that if it had been 3 weeks, she'd still be following him. I know I would have. If my daughter's there and there's no hope except for this man, I would have screamed after him as long as it took. So she persistence, and I don't know how long it took her to get here. I don't know how long she was calling out after him, but she was going to get what she came to get. And she was not going to look at this high and lofty and lifted up. She was going to look at the one that could do it. And he did it. Glory to God. I'm telling y'all, he's here right now. He's in us. We've got this. Just get ready, receive. Praise the Lord. Okay, so now we're going to go to Matthew 8. We're going to hit so many stories. Y'all are going to go through the whole Bible tonight. Matthew 8, 5 through 13. We're not going to go that far in this story. This is the story of the centurion. And when he, Jesus, entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth in the house sick of palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I'll come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. And he knows, it goes on to say he was a man under authority. He knew what authority was. He knew Jesus had the authority. But he knew, it didn't matter what the servant, we're looking at the servant, he's got the palsy, grievously tormented. You can only imagine how that looked and what was going on there. But he knew, again, he was looking at the one person. And he took his butt. You don't even need to come. I don't even need you to come lay hands on him. But you just say the word, and he's going to be healed. And he was. He was healed at that very hour. Praise God. Matthew 20. I love this one. And you might have to turn the mic down. I'll try not to scream too loud on this one. Matthew 20. Anybody asleep in here? Just never mind. That's right, they are used to. Matthew 20, 29 through 34. This is the two blind men. Love this story too, of course. Okay, now they went out of Jericho. This is Jesus and his group of disciples and everyone. As they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men were sitting by the road. And when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." And the multitude warned them to be quiet. But they cried out all the more, "Have mercy on us, Lord, Son of David! Have mercy on us, Lord, Son of David! Have mercy on us, Lord, Son of David!" They were not going to stop. They did not care. Okay, so they're looking at everybody's making fun of them. They're blind. Who's going to help them? They're looking at all of this over here that can be lifted up, high and lifted up, this lofty thing against, but they knew, they'd heard. They had to have heard. They couldn't have seen. They had to have heard. They heard. They heard about Jesus. They knew. I mean, he'd healed other blind men. He had healed. They knew. And they were not going to, and I'm telling you again, like the Syrophoenician woman, I believe they were going to just follow him, screaming, bumping into everything they had to bump into until they got his attention. They were not going to let go. They had lifted him up. They knew he was the answer, and they were not going to let go of the answer. And I'm telling y'all right now, we have got to be this persistent. We have. We've got to. You cannot let it go. And I'm going to get to some stories in a few minutes. But, you know, if you let it go, what do you have? You let it go. You know, what does it hurt to stay persistent and keep on and keep on? And then, you know, we see that he's true. He's true, and I'm getting ahead of myself. So they got their healing, of course. He said, "What will you have me do?" He opened their eyes, they received sight, and they followed him. So once again, they decided. They didn't look at this. They didn't look at their blind eyes, and especially fear of man. And I fight that all the time, worrying about what everybody's going to say. What are they going to say if you're screaming at you? Because everybody says right here, that says the multitude. So it wasn't just one person, Jack over here going, "Look, you two guys." The multitude. Everybody's like, "Shut up. Jesus is over here. Would y'all be, go get a, you know, go crawl in the hole." They were, the multitude was telling them to be quiet. But they didn't care. They didn't lift up fear of man. They didn't lift up what everybody was saying. They got Jesus right there, and they got it. Praise God. Luke 5, 17 through 26. This is the story of the paraplegic and the four men carrying men. I really want to do this with the kids one day, so if you see, like, tiles out of the roof or something, my God, what have they been doing down here? Taking the tiles out of the roof. One day while he, Jesus, was teaching, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting nearby. They came from every village of Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. Just then some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a bed. They were trying to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went out on the roof, let him down through the tiles in the middle of the crowd and in front of Jesus. And we know Jesus healed them, of course. But let me tell you what, here they have, look what they're looking at. They're looking at a huge crowd. There is no way they're getting in there. Plus all the leaders of the law are in there. And they're looking at just impossible to get him in there. It's just not, there's just no way to get him in there. But they, persistence, they were not good. And I'm sure, I can see them all bringing him back out. And one of them, I mean, I'm sure they're like, "What the heck are we going to do?" You know, and they're all figuring it out. And the guy's laying there and they love him. I mean, they've hauled him in here to get him healed. They love him. And they are determined. And one of them, I'm sure the Holy Spirit, somebody, the Holy Spirit, you know, one of them looked up and go, "You know, we can, let's get up." I mean, and I don't know how hard it was to get on the roof. Do they have steps on the roof? Do they have to, you know, rope him up there? I mean, you know, you never say what it took. You don't think it's that easy to get him up on the roof. And then they got to take the tiles down. But I'm telling you what, they weren't looking up here. They didn't lift up the situation, lift up that it's impossible. We're not getting him in there. All the leaders of the law are in there. Jesus is, you know, there's no, they lifted up. Again, there's one answer. There's one answer, and whatever it takes, we're getting him down there. We're going to do it. And they did. And he got healed. Praise the Lord. Once again, just keeps going. It's so great. Okay, here's one. It's got two and one in this one. Mark 5, 21. It's a good thing I wrote these big over here because these little tiny numbers. What is that number? This is the woman with issue of blood and Jairus, the story, the two of them. So we're going to start in Mark 5:21. When Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the sea. And one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My daughter is dying, but come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live." So Jesus went with him, and the large crowd was following and pressing against him. So we're going to stop right there. So here we got Jairus. You know, she's just about dead. I mean, she is. We already know that. She is not only dying, he left her knowing he didn't even think she could take another breath. So she's just almost dead. And so he's come, he's found Jesus, and so he's got a look here. He's like, and he says it. He says it again in, which one that is, 23. He says, "My little daughter's dying." So there it is. It's lifted up. "My little daughter's dying, suffering, can't breathe, won't last another 5 minutes. But if you will come lay your hands on her, she'll live." He spoke that faith. He knew that was the answer. Once again, Jesus is the answer, and he put that out there. And we know, after the next story, Jesus does go lay hands on her. Oh, we're going to go back to that. Let's flip. Let's keep going. Excuse me, just a minute. Robert, if you'll go to 35, excuse me. 5:35. "And while he was still speaking," and this is Jesus. Jesus was speaking to the woman with the issue of blood. "While Jesus was still speaking to her, the people from the synagogue leader's house came and said, 'Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the master anymore?' When Jesus overheard what was said, he told the synagogue leader, 'Don't be afraid,'" and I'm going to throw in, "but only believe." Don't be afraid, only believe. So here it is. He's just been told his daughter's dead, and anyone in here can only imagine. Because we don't know at this point he even knew Jesus could raise somebody from the dead. I mean, in his mind, she is dead. We're done. We're done. Don't even trouble him anymore. Go home. So here is Jairus. And now he was holding on to, "But if you lay hands on her, she'll live." You know, because she's still alive. She'll live. But, you know, you just got to come. But now he's just, it's done. She's done. She's dead. It's over. Go home. And it's not written that he says anything. And I don't think he said anything. I think Jesus turned to him. He heard what they said, and Jesus turned, he said, "Don't be afraid." Fear's right here. Fear's way up here. You know he was full of fear and despair and sorrow and grief and everything that was hitting him. Jesus said, "But only believe." So now you got a choice. Are you going to stay over here? And the reason that that girl is alive, that daughter lived, is because he didn't speak anything that we know of. And that's huge for every one of us. If you can't speak the word, don't speak. Just don't speak. And there have been times when something's hit me. You know, something will happen or you'll hear, you know, there's been a wreck or what, you know, and you just are in shell shock. But just don't speak until you can speak the word. Don't speak until you can speak something positive out of your mouth. It's huge. And the more word we get in us, the more that pops out, whether you mean it to. "No, she'll live and not die and declare the works of the Lord." And you're like, "Who said that?" Oh, praise God, I did. So you get that word in you. Only believe. And Jairus didn't speak. And it says right then, they went. He said, then they went to the house, they went in, and she was raised from the dead. So he had to combat that fear. He had to decide which way. And he could have gone the other way. And I don't even know if the story would have been in here, or it would have been, you know, probably wouldn't even have been in here. So let's go back to the woman with issue of blood. We're going to start with 25, Mark 5:25. "Now a woman who was suffering from bleeding for 12 years." Okay, I'm going to stop right here, y'all. We read this story over and over and over, and it's just like, yeah, the woman with issue of blood for 12 years. 12 years. 12 years this woman suffered. You know, this was a big deal. And of course, we know she had endured, keep going, she had endured much under many doctors. We did this morning, didn't we, Levi? We did this in Children's Church, part of this story. She had spent everything she had and was not helped at all. On the contrary, she became worse. But having heard, here we go again, she heard. Having heard about Jesus, she came up from behind him in the crowd and touched his clothes, for she said, but if I just touch his clothes, I'll be made well. And instantly the flow of her blood ceased. She sensed in her body that she was healed of her affliction. So here she's looking at 12 years. 12 years. Doctors, all her money gone. Suffering. But then she heard. 12 years. Nothing's helping. All of the ailments, all the remedies, but then she heard. 12 years. But then she heard. She heard about the man. She heard about someone that could help her. And she heard, and then she started speaking. And one of the, that she said within herself, or she said to herself, but, okay, I've got all this over here. I mean, 12 years of that, your whole life is that. You're just engulfed in that. But if I touch his clothes, I'll be made well. And so she took that and put that above and lifted it high above all of the 12 years of suffering that she had made, had. And she was healed. Praise the Lord. Yes. Amen. So, now, I have a question. So, for each one of these stories, for all that we've talked about, you have to make the decision in every instance in your life. What are you going to exalt? What are you going to put higher than what else? No matter how high it seems, and some things seem like they, there is no way, that there's no answer, that there's no explanation, there's nothing, but there is always the Word of God. If you're willing to take the Word, no matter where the bud is, and stand on it and believe it and do not let it go. And I'm telling you, put the scriptures up on your wall. Put them up on your bathroom when you're brushing your teeth. You know, whatever you have to do to keep it in front of your eyes, to keep, instead of looking at Goliath, you're going to look at God and his promises above everything that happens. You're going to have what you're, I'm telling you, persistence is the key, but it's also making a decision of what you're going to raise up. You've got to raise the Word of God higher. You've got to. I wanted to share with you something that's helped me do that in my life, and that is this. This is a little journal that I keep, and I call it my Thanksgiving journal. And what I do is when things happen, no matter what they are, no matter how big or no matter how small, when God answers a prayer, when he comes through for me, when we had supernatural protection, on and on and on, I just put it in here. I don't write a long thing. I'll just put the tree fell and put the date. Or I will put, someone gave me money and could pay a bill. Or I'd put whatever it is, I put it in here. And then when you're in the middle of that thing that's this high and that you just can't seem to break out that God's word is higher, I've got this that I go to. And I open it up. And when the devil's saying, it ain't going to happen this time. You know, it's not going to happen. I know it might have happened a couple times before. But this time, number one, how did you speak to your kids yesterday? Did you scream at every kid downstairs this morning? Yes, I did. Go ahead and admit to all of y'all, parents, grandparents, I did. I screamed. Levi will attest. Anyway, I mean, I was like, it was like this. It's like, if you don't sit down, I'm going to take you upstairs. I'm going to march you down in the middle of everybody upstairs and sit you with your parent. Yeah. Is that what you want me to do? Is that what you want? Do you? Levi will tell you, that's exactly what I said. And they're like, okay. Sit down. It wasn't Levi. No, I will not name names. It was not Levi. But so what I do is I get out this. And so when the devil's telling me, I'll say, okay, devil, if you'd like to sit down, you're welcome to. I'm going to read you a little something. I'm going to remind you, oh, gosh, you know, when Irma came through and you knocked down that 200-year-old oak tree in my backyard, let's just talk about that for a minute. Okay, I have a 200-year-old oak tree in my backyard. Three people couldn't get their arms around. It was huge. And the limbs were trees. I mean, the limbs are a tree. And so during Irma, that thing fell. I mean, just uprooted and fell. Now, there's only one way, y'all, one way, I mean, within feet, that it could have fallen and not touched anything. I mean, you got my house here, so it could have gone through any number of ways through my house. And then you got the whole pecan orchard, could have gone through all that. And if it had gone any way the back, it would have hit the house. My neighbor over here, because it was five stories high. huge. I mean, my house is three stories, and it's way up above that. So if this thing had come down any other way, one way could it go down right in my backyard and not touch anything. And that's how it fell. Devil. Just want to hear about that one. Glad to tell everybody about that. Praise God. And then when they came, the insurance came, paid to have it cut down, and, you know, the Lord blessed me. I got extra stuff to help me with other stuff. So, so good. And then there's the money fraud. Yeah, I had the fraud that somebody got some money from me. We're trying to sell something with online, and, you know, devastated. Didn't it took my money for the month. All my within a week, one week, all that money was back. So let's remember that. Remember the lady that had the big tumor on her leg, and I prayed for her, put my hand on, I cursed it, and she came back a week later. It was gone. It's gone. Remember my shoulder? I couldn't lift it to praise. I was playing with kids downstairs. I fell, like I was playing tag and fell. And my shoulder, I don't even know what I did to my shoulder. And I prayed. I mean, we go to doctors. I don't have anything against doctors. The Lord says, go. I go when I need to go. But I didn't feel to go. And then at healing school one Thursday, Robert and Trey and Minton laid hands on me and prayed and healed it. Straight up, gone. I couldn't even lift it. I mean, for several weeks. I couldn't even get dressed. Can't even tell you all the pain. Just like that. Now, I will say, I had already exalted the word of God. I will have to say that. I didn't sit there and go, oh, my shoulder's never going to get better. Oh, I'm going to have to go get surgery. It's probably rotator cuff surgery. I'm going to have to wear, I can't even get dressed. I'm in so much, I didn't do that. I went over here because I've learned. I said, God, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. It doesn't matter how long it takes. It doesn't matter. You show me what I need to do, but I am not coming off your word. You said you'd bless my bread and water and take sickness away from my midst. You said you are the God that healed. That's what I did. From the minute it happened, that's what I did. Same thing with the money fraud. I said, God, I'm a giver. I'm looking at no money for the month. No money for the month. It's gone. All my money. The people out there that help me. All my money gone. I have a choice. What am I going to do? That's way high and lifted up right there. But the minute it happened, I mean, I'm devastated. I've just found this out. I'm sitting in the car. I am crying. But out of my mouth, I have a choice to make. And I'm not going to let the devil have it. Because if I'd said, oh, my God, that's it, we're going to be evicted. You know, we can't pay bills, the electricity's going to be done. What am I going to do? I'd be a slobbery mess. I felt that inside. I'm going to be honest. I felt it. I'm shaking. I'm upset. I'm crying. I'm upset. Oh, my gosh. And then I could have said, God, what? Hello? Could you not have told me? I'm sure he tried to. I know he tried to. He would not have told me to do that. I mean, I can look back and see, oh, I just rushed because it was that rush. They do that rush. Got to have it now. Send it now. Got to be right in the next 30 minutes, you know. So I didn't stop and go, now wait, Lord, should I? So I know that was me, all on me, of course. But I spoke the word. I said, God, I am a giver and I am a tither. And you said you would bless me. You said you would take care of my needs according to your riches and glory. You said I'd have enough to give to every good work and my needs would all be met. And I spoke that word and I never came off that word. And I mean, this is the fact. I didn't deny it. You know, I've lost the money. It's gone. Somebody scammed me. I know that's true. That happened. That's a fact. But the truth is God, and he did. He did, y'all, in a week. Oh, my gosh. On and on. Car. My car died on the side of the road. Pulling this out of here. And the devil, I think, is long gone by now. I'm pretty sure. Don't think he's still in the room. But this is helping me. Because now I'm built up. I'm starting to go, yeah. And he did. And I have little bitty things. Just little sentences of stuff that he did. Oh, yeah, and he did that. Oh, my gosh. And my car died on the side of the road. I didn't have money for a car. Took it in. They're like, look, it's gone. You know, you're just going to have to rebuild the engine. It's not worth it. It's got 300,000 miles on it. And so I prayed. I said, Lord, what? He said, give it to, it was a van. He said, give it to this ministry that fixes cars to give to people. I'm like, yeah, but I'm the people. I need them to fix the car to give to me because I have no car. So, but he told me to, and I even had it towed. I had it towed to that ministry, and they did. They fixed it. They gave it to a family. Lord told me to do that. In the meantime, a friend had given me an extra car she had. Her husband had passed away, and she gave me a car to use. and I'm using, you know, driving the car. It's a great blessing. And then 2 weeks had gone by. I'm still driving the car. I'm still like, Lord, and I didn't speak it. I'm just like, now I've sown a seed of a car. That's a big thing. I've now got a seed for a car because I've sowed my car. So, you know, okay, that's out there. And I've given, and in 2 weeks' time, this friend came to me, and she said, the Lord said for me to give you that car. She gave me the car. It was a Cadillac DeVille, heated seats, heated steering wheel. I mean, this car, I can't even talk about the blessing. I mean, this is exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. Here's the car. I mean, and see, this is full of this. But let me tell you, this doesn't just come just because I'm sitting around crying. This comes because you decide what, you know, what, how, which one are you going to exalt? And making the decision to exalt the Word of God above everything. So, where is your but? B-U-T. And so I just pray today that whatever's going on in your life or whatever does hit you, whatever's coming at you, that find the scriptures. And like, I had all these children, scriptures for children that I was going to give y'all. I was going to go off on that. That's a whole other message I had about how to pray for your children, how to help, you know, get them where God wants them to be, and your part that you need to do, but didn't get that. But you can just go on Google and Google children's scriptures, healing scriptures. I mean, on your phone, hit the little microphone. Financial scriptures. I mean, it is just awesome what we have now at our fingertips. So find what you need. Find the scriptures for wherever situation you're in. And let me tell you, you just got to make the decision to be persistent, because it's not going to just come without you. It's not hard, but it takes diligence. He didn't make it hard. And we know none of this is about us. His grace and His mercy and His sacrifice has given us everything we need now. Everything He already bought and paid for, and it's already ours. But we have to figure out how by faith to implement it and how to take it and make a decision on which way we're going to go, where our butt's going to end up being. So let's pray. Father, we love You, we honor You, we praise You, we thank You so much for Your word. Father, just everything that we need to hear today, tonight, just cement it in our hearts so that when that thing hits, when that time comes, when that sickness is there, we can take the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, and plow straight through it by speaking the word and not coming off the word. And always exalting only what the Word of God says, only what Jesus did in His sacrifice, to exalt Jesus always above anything and everything that's going on. And we just speak traveling, ministering angels around everyone here as they go home and throughout the week. We honor You, we love You, we praise You. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Amen.